Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I was reminded that our psalm today is to continue with Psalm 89. And we will start with the L'shem Yichud. And then we will use the Machon Mamre website for the Psalms. And we will start with verse 14. And you can find the handout, as we consistently remind people, on the Unique Astrological Times web link under the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to the section titled Tanit Dibur, the Fast of Words. And we are in section 89, but we're actually going to start with the Machon Mamre website. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchi Lurkimu Utchi Lutchi Lurkimu Liakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate L'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananeh. And I was ready, but now my computer jumped a little bit, so let me get to where we will begin. Verse 14. Lecha zeroa im gevura. Taos yadcha tarum yaminecha. Thine is an arm with might, strong is thy hand, and exalted is thy hand, thy right hand. There are eight words, and we know the number eight connects to the Sefirah of Bina, and which represents the world that is coming. The word Zeroa is a very famous word. It's being translated here as arm, but in the famous Yom Kippur Kol Nidre, the phrase is Zeroa HaSadik. And I don't have a translation from those areas, but I don't ever remember it being translated as arm. If you look at the fifth word in the verse, Taoz, that's coming from the being translated as strong in the context of a verb. Strong is not thought of in English as a verb. But if you try and look for the same meaning of I am Zion, which can be translated as goat or as strong. In Zeroa, the letters are there, but it's, you have to permutate the letters. And if you do permutate the letters to get to strong, which they're utilizing Gevura, the fourth word, as the translation of might, which is, it's appropriate. Gevura means strength. But it really isn't your arm that it's talking about. And the word ayin mem, which means if, and you don't see the word if in this sentence. So you can see the translation is really a little bit corrupted. Verse 15. Tzedek u'mishpat mechom kisecha, chesed ve'emet yekadmu v'anecha. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Mercy and truth go before thee. Again, we have eight words, and we just discussed the number eight. There are 32 letters, which connects to the 32 paths of wisdom as spoken of.
Has joined.
So you see a connection between the eight words representing the world that is coming, representing Bina, and the 32 letters that connects to Hakma. Now, the word Kiseha means your throne. And throne is a code word. Throne means the world of Briah, the world of creation. It represents the seat that Hashem sits on. But of course, Hashem doesn't have our human body parts. The Torah speaks to us, and the Psalm speaks to us in the words of men, with the consciousness of how we could perceive things. So this idea of the throne being the world of Briah is one step down from the world of emanation, the world of Atzilut. And understanding this concept of the throne and what it actually means within the context of worlds and the idea of all these different code words. What does mercy, and first off, it's not mercy, and this is very often confusing, because people think in terms of the word chesed, which we translate as part of the Sefirot as loving kindness. But here it's being translated as mercy, and mercy is rachamim. Mercy is tiferet. And this is where things become corrupted. Because the second part of the translation should be loving kindness and truth go before you. Before you is panecha, the last word in the verse. Yikad mecha. Yekadmu. You see the word kedem? You should be familiar with it. Kedem is, it's one of the labels of wine, kosher wine, that comes out of New York. They label it Kedem, that's the company name. And I'm not sure what Kedem translates as. But I don't think it means go, which is what it's being translated as. And the vav at the end of Yekadmu would be whatever, your. And so I know the translation is incorrect. Verse 16. Ashreham yodei teruah. Hashem Bior Panecha Yahalehu. Happy is the people that know the joyful shout. They walk Hashem in the light of thy countenance. The last word in the verse, Yahalehu, is being translated from Shoresh of Lech. Which would be Lech Lecha, famous parasha, the name of a parasha, go for yourself, walk for yourself. You see the difference? Lech. But look at the word. The yud at the beginning of the word indicates action. The hey indicates the definite article. The vav and the nun are endings that we see in a poetic form of Hebrew. It's called Biblical Hebrew. Many times, the words have additional letters as part of the ending. Sometimes it's a hey, sometimes it's a vav, sometimes it's a nun, sometimes it's a mem. There are always these different additional letters, but they're meaningful. Even if we do not understand what the meaning is, there is a purpose to them. But there's no word here that says light, L-I-G-H-T in English. Where do you see that? It's not there. And so again, I'm not saying that the translation isn't correct, because it flows and it has the meaning of the verse, but it isn't accurate. And I don't want to come across as attacking the translations. I can't translate. I don't have, my Hebrew isn't strong enough to do accurate translations. But there's a reason why Rabbi Sutton did not translate this psalm. And we see it consistently in these verses that are not being translated properly. Verse 17. Kol hayom utzikacha yarumu. In thy name do they rejoice all the day. and through thy righteousness are they exalted. There are six words, as we know, that the next is there on tin, but without the unity with Malkut. There's 28 letters which connects to the Hebrew word koach. 28. Koach means strong or power. Verse 18. Ki tiferet uzamo ata uvirtsoncha to roam parneinu. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn is exalted. Please notice the difference between the way the word is written, which is top resh yud mem, the last word in the first line, and the way it's pronounced. If I were to pronounce it the way it's written, it would be tarim, but it's tarum. And there's a big difference between a yud and a vav. The Vav represents Zerantin, with the number six. The Yud represents Hashem. It's the first letter of Hashem's name. When it's written, Taf Resh Yud Mem, it becomes a C, because the last two letters spell the word Yam, meaning C. But you can't get that from Tarum. Kuf Resh Nun, the last word, the shorish of the last word, is Karen. And Karen is a word for song. So where do you see the word song? Verse 19. Ki la Hashem maginenu v'likdosh Yisrael malkeinu. And this is a really good example. The fourth word, there are six words, and we know we just discussed six. The fourth word, Wilikdosh. The word is Kadosh, with the Lamed in front, which the Lamed would be a connecting word, sometimes translated as two, T-O. But in Hebrew, we know it has the meaning of teaching. But notice the vowel difference. The word is kadosh, but it's pronounced lik-dosh. Could it just as well be pronounced li-kadosh? Sure. So why did the vowels change this way? And then the question is asked, there's no vowels in these Torah scrolls. Even in the book of Psalms, there are no vowels. So where does the vowels come from? Where is this traditional voweling coming from? And the answer is, it comes from something called the Masoretic text. Because there was one scroll that was found, and it's called the Masoretic text, the Masoretic scroll, the Mazor, which is a Greek word. And that vowel, that scroll has vowels attached to the letters of the Torah. And that's where these vowels come from. But are they accurate? Is a question we have to ask. And I'm just using this as an example for your education so that you begin to appreciate how corrupted our lack of Hebrew thought process makes us. And I've chosen those words carefully. Verse 20. Az dibarta b'chazon l'chassidecha wat omer shviti ezer al gibor harimoti bachur me'am. Then thou spoke in a vision to thy godly ones, and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. There are 12 words. We know that connects to the 12 tribes of Israel. But we also know it connects to the three columns of the Tree of Life. Because the Sephirot are thought in the terms of four as well as five. And when it's four, it's talking about Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, and Malchut. It eliminates that lower aspect of the shield. It doesn't really eliminate it. It's just saying that Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet is a unity of the three, and it needs to be manifested. So the number 12, and the reason there are 12 tribes, although we know there are 13 tribes because one was tithed, the Levites were tithed to Hashem and working in the temple. We know that the number 12 doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes out of the four letters of Hashem's name, which is Achma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. Just as it's Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, and Malchut. It's the number four in each of the three columns of the Tree of Life. So whenever you see the number 12, it's also that connection. But look at the last word, Me'am. And a literal translation is from people. You don't see a hey there. But the change of vowel says the hey is there. Why do I mean the change of vowel? Because most of the time when you see the mem at the beginning of the word, the vowel is a shava, the two dots one above the other. And here it's been changed to the A sound. And that's implying that it is a definite article. They dropped the hey. It should be m-ha-am. But it was transformed to me-am. just as we do apostrophes to connect words like it is into its. And there are 51 letters. Is Nun Aleph, and it has the meaning of please. It has the meaning of a prayer. You're asking for something. Earlier I spoke of how you they add letters to create the endings. If you look at the second word, Dibber is speaking, Daber. But Dibarta is a feminine ending. So it's being structured as being past tense. Then thou spoke. But Hashem doesn't speak in the past tense to godly ones. Who are the godly ones? They're the tzaddikim, but that's not the word here. The word is lachasidecha. Your godly ones, your people of chesed. The translation is meaningful, godly ones, but it's not accurate. One letters that spells the word plea, a pleading, a prayer, a pleasing. Verse 21. Matati David Avi Meshemen Kachi Meshakti. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Six words. David was truly anointed by Samuel the prophet, which makes David the Messiah. But every king of Israel was anointed. King Saul was anointed with oil. It was a mechanism of elevating, of moving from the left column to the right column. Transforming from purification or purified into holiness. Verse 22. Asher yadi taiti konimo asuroi diamzenu. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. Seven words indicating a unity between Zerahdin and Malchut. Twenty-six letters connects a clear connection to Hashem, and that makes sense. Look at the third word, tikkun. Could be pronounced tikkun. But tikkun is spelled with a kuf, I believe. And it just goes to show you that the words can sound alike. That sounding alike is a way of substitutions as well. Because the kaf and the kuf are letters that can be substituted for each other. So you can see this verse, and maybe this translation is accurate or relatively accurate. But there's so much more that's built into the verse that we do not get with the single translation. The first part of the verse, I have found David my servant. So matzati is the point is, in Hebrew, because of the letter substitutions, because of the gematria substitutions, because of the different meanings of the words, when you read a verse in Hebrew, there are these 70 levels, and they're all there if you're looking for them. But of course, an individual human being, it's not each one of us, it's not our responsibility to know all 70. It's our responsibility to know as many as we can achieve. Verse 23. Lo yashi, o yevo, uven avla lo yanenu. Seven words. We know the number seven is the unity of Zerahdin and Malchut. Twenty-six letters connecting to Hashem. But the English translation, the enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Please look at the second word. Yashi. Then there's these two letters, Yud and Aleph. They don't have vowels. Why not? They spell a word by themselves. Yud Aleph spells the word island. Yud Aleph is the gematria 11. What's the number 11? It's one more than 10. There are 10 Sephirot, and the 11th is the negative system. Yesh, Yud Shin, translates is there is. So the word that's spelled here, even though the Yud and the Aleph are silent, we don't pronounce them, but the word is actually there is an island. How does that relate to the translation in the English? We need to know all the other words and be able to translate all of the other words to truly appreciate what is being said. Now, many times I will read this in my prayers, and I would say the word Yashiyo, putting the root vowels to the Yud, and recognizing that the Aleph at the end of the word is coming from an Aramaic ending. But I don't have the full perception of it all. Verse 24. And I will beat to pieces his adversaries before him and smite them that hate him. Five words. Keter, Hachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. Six letters. Verse 25. The Emunati Vechazdi Mo Uvishmi Tarum Karno. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and through my name shall his horn be exalted. Again, we have mercy being exchanged for a more accurate word of loving kindness. The word is the second word, the chazdi. But it doesn't say will be what shall be with him. It says, Imo, his people. Verse 27.
Has joined.
Excuse me. Verse 26. Wasamti my vayam yado uvan harot yemino. I will set his hand also on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. Of five words. Five words and 23 letters. But what does it make any sense to you? He will set his hand also on the sea. There's no word also in this Hebrew. So what is being added by the English translation of also? I think it loses. I will set his sand on the sea. That's the verse. That's the words, the first three words. Yado is his hand. Vayam on sea. And with the Samti. The Samti. The Tath is one of those extra words at the end to make it feminine. But it's really the meaning of the word, the Shoresh is Shem, which is name. What does that have to do with setting? It's his name. And my name, and my name on a sea, the sea could be, is his hand. But where does it make any sense to say I'm putting his hand on the sea, but then his right hand on the rivers? What is being expressed here? It's dealing with different levels of code words. And if you don't have the study of Kabbalah to give you some relationship to those code words, some understanding of the code words, even if it's limited, you have no idea what's really being said here. And I would never say I even understand what's being said here.
Anouk?
Yes, huh?
I mean, I don't know the exact spelling, but I'm thinking back to verse 14 when we had the word Zeror. And my thought was that sounds like the shank bone that we have on the Passover Seder plate. But I don't know if it's the same spelling. You know how that goes.
Of course.
Which would be pointing, hinting, code word having to do with the, you know, the Exodus from Egypt. And so it would link up to this verse as well, if, you know, we say it's by the strong hand, the right hand of the Lord, that we were delivered from Egypt. So if it's hinting at the Exodus and the crossing of the Red Sea, well, then that verse would kind of be a connecting verse to the beginning of where we started today, which I think is verse 14. That's
correct.
A thought. I'd have to look up Zoror. You know.
Zoroa. And you're absolutely right. Zoroa is what we call the shank bone after it's been burned.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we burn the shank bone for the Seder plate? Because that's transforming through the fire, it gets transformed from one column to the next. The shank bone is our chesed, whereas the besa, the eggs, are the left column. But notice if you look at verse 14 again, and I thank you for this comment because it's very beneficial. If you look at this, Gibul Ra represents the left column. It's the Sephirah itself. And yes, it means strong or mighty. It's one of its adjectives. But the whole idea of coming from the Exodus, but we, as you said, we know that the right hand is what brought us out of Egypt. The right hand is the redemption because it's done through loving kindness. So what is the word Gevurah doing here? It's all part of the code words. You're absolutely right. But we do not yet have a full perception of those code words. At least I don't. But I thank you. It's an excellent comment to realize that Zoroa is coming from the Seder plate, the same word. And that's an Aramaic word as opposed to a Hebrew word. Although many times the Aramaic word becomes, the Hebrew word has accepted the Aramaic word, or vice versa. So let us return to verse 27, which is where I was going to start. Yikraeni avi ata eli v'tzur yeshuati. If you'll call upon me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Such a powerful verse. Always remember the word who is he. So it's a pronoun, the male pronoun he, H-E. He shall call upon me. And that comes from the yud at the end of Kara'eni. You are my Father, the next two words. Absolutely correct. You are my Father. My God is Eli. And the Tzur is rock. Yeshuati, salvation. Salvation is a code word for Yesod. You are my Father, you are my God, but El is a word, is the name of God active in Chokmah. And rock represents Malchut. And salvation is a code word for Yesod. And so this word is essentially bringing wisdom into our physical world. My Father is wisdom, Chokmah. My God is essentially the process. There is Ein Od Milvado. There is nothing but God. Nothing outside of God. There's nothing but God. And the rock of my salvation is the physical world. How do we, all three of these phrases relate to the unity that we're searching for on Rosh Hashanah, where we speak of our Father and our King? But this third level is built into the idea of prayer, charity, the three things that save us from death. My mind is missing the connection of what those three words are, and I know someone will be able to tell me in a minute. Well, I just want to do one more verse, because that's about all we have time for.
Hanok.
Yes, Anna.
I got excited because when you said wisdom, because this is a maskil psalm, and that's the definition of maskil is wisdom. So that kind of got me excited. So
good connection.
I'm going to mute.
Verse 28. Afani b'kor et nehu elyon l'malkei aretz. I also will appoint him firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. This is so confusing. I love the confusion. I really do. But let me count words. Seven words, the unification of Zeranpin and Malchut. Seven letters. Connecting to all of the 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the 22 basic letters and the 5 final letters. But what am I excited? Why did I say this is confusing? Because if God is speaking, the word should be Anochi. But it's Ani. The word Af, Aleph Pei, We translate it from the standpoint of the essence of the letters, the unification of the mouth, or the mouth is the mouth and unity. But the word "af" actually is anger in translation. So you can see it has no connection to this English translation here. But the confusion is, who's speaking? Who is the I in this sentence? I will appoint him firstborn. Well, if it's Hashem who's speaking, the firstborn is Israel. But is it talking about King David from earlier? It's just a confusing verse. And with that last statement, I'm going to say this is the last verse for today. And we will continue next week. If I don't remember, I'm sure someone will remind me like they did this week, and it's very much appreciated that they do. So please continue doing it. I'm reminding you that there's a 11 o'clock class, West Coast time, for the Shir HaShirim this week, and we will be doing it every week, because it is a Sephardic tradition to do so. And with the potential redemption of this coming year, the more we start to do, the more we can start to bring Mashiach. And we can make that happen this coming year. And let us all say amen. Amen. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy.
27, were you,
yes,
looking for the three which were prayer, tzedakah, and Torah to save you from death?
Right. What, say them again, Tefillah?
Prayer, tzedakah, and Torah.
Okay. So Tefillah is the word for prayer. Tzedakah and Torah. Those are the three things. Taf, Tzadi, Taf. Think about The gematria of those three letters is 890, which is 89 times 10. And 89 is the gematria of the word for Hanukkah, which is the holiday of lights, but it's really the holiday of the Organus. It's the revelation of the concealed lights. Different forms of unity being expressed in many different levels. Thank you, Brandy. That's very helpful.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions or comments or thoughts? Shabbat shalom to all. I hope you'll join us for the 11 o'clock class today. Shalom gadol to everyone. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.